Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World right here on ztalkradio.com. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happenings. Our number, if you want to call in tonight, it's 562-912-3444. You can always email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com.
You guys sound
follow
so
us on Twitter and Facebook.
So
once again, if you want to give us a call, that number again is 562-912-3444. Sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World right here on ztalkradio.com.
There you go. I hear you guys now. Okay. You guys got it now? Because I hear you guys coming on. You're welcome. Have a good show, guys.
Well, welcome, Z-Talk, and this is Swoop's World, and we got it all logged in. Thank you, Stacy Morning Coffee, for helping us get through this. And we're back for another Wednesday night, or Thursday morning, if you're on the East Coast. And here we have Peter, we have C-Liv, and Taylor from LB Food Review with us. So how's it going, everybody?
It's going good.
Great.
Going good. Superb. Now that we're live.
Ready to get rocking and rolling. So we have a couple new things we're going to introduce today. We're going to have C-Liv's Late Night Snackins. And, of course, you know, Taylor's going to give us the sports update. But we're all good to go. And it is about time. Thank you. You know, Stacy, I don't know if she ever sleeps because her show's on at 6 o'clock in the morning. And
that's East Coast time, right?
No, it's our time.
It's our time. Okay.
6 o'clock in the morning, our time. And she's on all. I see her popping in and out all day long and late night. And I don't think she ever gets any rest. But hey, she's must be younger than us. So what's been happening, fellas?
Well, not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. Hanging out. I've been doing a lot of photos. I don't know if anybody knows, but my wife gave me a really cool digital camera for my birthday. So I've been kind of obsessing with the whole Flickr thing, posting stuff, experimenting. And I got my daughter involved. I got her doing I said, go get some toys, whatever toys you want. And then I let her arrange them, and then we take pictures of them. Some of them actually turned out okay.
There you go.
I had to take a picture today of whatever the new Disney movie is, Tangled. It's like Rapunzel or something like that.
Yeah.
Rapunzel on a rubber duck. So, but that's what I want! I'm like, it's not that good a picture, baby. But that's what I...
Hey, we
took it.
She's the art director, man.
She's the art director. I'm just the camera guy.
You told her to...
I did. There you have it.
There you go, man. That's what you get.
So, that's how I've been spending my afternoon, taking pictures.
What's happening in the LB Food Review world?
Oh, man, just eating. Eating as always. We talked about Georgie's Place last time we were on the air.
Right.
We got our review posted up for Georgie's Place. It's on that is www.lbfoodreview.com. So we talked about Georgie's Place, and I actually had breakfast at Egg Heaven for the first time this morning, and I'm going to be getting an article written about that and get some more information up about another wonderful local Long Beach dive. Breakfast dive.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to have to do that pastrami tasting and compare to Peter, you lived on the East Coast for a while. We're going to compare the local pastrami fair to the East Coast fair.
I believe that we do have a date set for the pastrami showdown, do we not?
I think we were supposed to.
Yeah.
Well, we're working on that, and I actually
March
just...
or April, right?
It's
in the calendar.
It's on the calendar, and you know, I talked to our buddy Andy Nethery the other day, who is a film person. He likes doing videography.
He's a media person. Don't pigeonhole the man.
Yeah, okay, sorry. He's a media individual, and he's signed on to videotape the whole thing so we can put up a little YouTube video of me stuffing my fat face full of wonderful pastrami. And I'm not going to say that anybody else is. On this radio show is stuffing their fat face as well. But I definitely will be. I'll just throw that out there. Speaking about stuffing fat faces.
Well, I know. You have something here for us.
We have C-Live's Late Night Snack.
Well, let's tell us about C-Live's Late Night Snacks. Tell the audience where it originates from and why there's a need for it.
Why there's a need for it. Well, Z-Talk people don't know this yet, but, you know, us out here in California are very liberal with certain things. And,
on the left coast?
Yeah, on the left coast. And we, you know, from time to time, you need some munchies. You know, and you have to come up with things that are not too complicated, because when you're in that frame of mind, it's hard to do the cooking without setting the house on fire.
Also, yeah. You have to have something that you don't have to go to the store for. So that's stuffy, right? Stuff you're likely to have,
right,
in your pantry.
So tonight, for late night snackins, we have a block of Philadelphia cream cheese.
Wow.
We have a can of spicy Hormel chili?
No, it's not Hormel.
Oh, what is it?
It's Denison.
Denison. Spicy, hot Denison chili. And a little bit of Cholula. Throw in the microwave for 3 minutes and stir that shit up, and you got yourself a nice little late-night snackin'.
Late-night snackin'.
Serve with tortilla chips.
Brought to you by LBFoodReview.com.
LB Food Review and the Lap Band people.
Get it now before your PPO insurance will no longer pay.
Now, that complicated recipe that you just put out there, can it be found anywhere?
It can be found. As a matter of fact, it's posted on, again, www.LBFoodReview.com.
And for those of you in the chat room, it's right there. You can link right to it.
Well, very cool. And yeah, it's pretty tasty, I have to admit.
It is.
It's simple,
low tech, but tasty.
We need to fire. We need to fire that puppy up.
You
so we
can actually feel your arteries filling up with cholesterol. It's a beautiful thing.
They're clenching.
Yeah. Yeah. Peristalsis is the big thing.
There you go, peristalsis. I like it.
Well, this is our second night here at Z-Talk. And last week we did, that was our first night.
Yep.
We had a ball. Had a lot of listens in the archives there.
Yep.
What? How did you guys think we did?
I had a good time. I had a good time. It ran a little. It was later than we normally do. Obviously, it was because it added time for us. So I was a little concerned that, you know, I'm not the talkative member of this group here.
Not usually, but the last 2 weeks he's been raw.
Well, you know, I obviously other people fell to the side, and I had to step up, and did. I had a good time.
The silent Bob came alive for the show last week.
No, it's good, and you know, like we were saying, I was listening to the show, and the sound quality is amazing.
Yeah,
it's friggin' amazing. Friggin' amazing.
Friggin'.
I had to work on that all week, man.
Yeah, you know, the F-bomb alert. You know, I mean, it kind of... We need some help with the F-bomb, but, or I do it. I mean, you know, see, I almost said it! Damn it!
Oh gosh, but it's all good, man. It's all good. We just had a guest on our earlier show, a DA from Orange County who specializes in child
molestation cases.
Molestation cases,
serious
child,
stuff.
Child sexual abuse.
Nothing to joke about. For
her,
sure.
Her exact explanation of it was children that are experiencing molestation or sodomy, right? She did say sodomy multiple times.
Rape or sodomy.
There
was her exact words.
Yeah, and it was very enlightening, interesting.
Enlightening, not uplifting.
No.
But for those of you who are listening, who are parents, she dispensed some very good advice about what to look for, how to prevent, and all that. So if you missed that part of the show, please go back and definitely download that. Podcast there or however you're downloading, and check it out, because it's not exciting. It's not the uplifting stuff, but it's definitely serious shit. And for any of you who have kids, it's stuff you definitely need to know.
And we're gonna get her. We're gonna get her to come on Z Talk with us because she's a friend of mine. So that's she almost stayed tonight, but I think it was a little late for her.
Yeah, she's got a real job. Yeah, well, not she, like us.
She was in. She's got to work. She was in trial all day today too. So
and I think she said she had another one coming up.
Yeah, so she's really busy. That's the one. The big shame of it all is that, like I said, her docket is always full.
That's the scariest part of it.
That's the scariest part of it all. But
and the other scary part is that she's saying that she's only really probably getting like a tenth of the percent of the amount of the amount of cases that are actually happening in our society because of the disclosure thing.
Right. Yeah. She said about 25% of people have experienced it, and only a small percentage of that actually report it.
Right.
And so that's... Yeah, that's...
It was interesting to me how she said about how many people actually, you know, they actually start talking about the times that they were molested when they're adults, when they have their own children. They don't even tell anybody until they've had their own kids. And,
right.
And, you know, I totally understand what she's saying about people, about especially children, just extremely worried about wrecking their family so they keep their mouth shut.
Right.
And it's a hard subject, and you know...
Extremely.
It's definitely a hard subject. Yeah.
Well, so we're going to pick up the party here. We're going to take our first break. We're going to come back from that, and maybe we'll get Taylor to tell us a little bit about sports. Maybe. You're listening to Swoops World on ztalkradio.com. You got to double-click this.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle called, speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He called everyone. He even called my daughter Tierra, because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Visit StrokesNoJoke.org, brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Psst, come a little closer, honey. Let me tell you what I do every morning. Honey, I get up and have me a beer. I catch me a little buzz. You can do like Shamika Tootie Brown does. And listen to Tanya and Stacy on their morning coffee, honey, 9 o'clock Monday through Friday on ztalkradio.com. Ooh, Lord, you would not be upset, okay? Them girls is crazy. I learned everything I know nasty from Tanya and Stacy, honey. Check it out right here on ztalkradio.com. Shamika Tootie Brown sent you. You know it's good. It was a clear
black night. What's up, this is Warren G, you know what I'm saying? I'm here giving it up for Rad because they do a lot of good things for people. Before you drink, make sure that you got somebody that can drive your butt home so you won't crash or get pulled over and get a DUI. So go ahead and follow the route and everything will be cool. And don't be no fools. Peace, baby, Warren G.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
That's John Mulvey. He'll be our guest here in Z Talk on the 9th of February. And that's the title cut off his newest CD called This and That. And we're looking forward to having him on the show and hearing what he's got to say. He played, was a protege of, who did they say he was a protege of? Joe Satriani. So be able to check him out. And now it's that time. That's the sound for Taylor's timeout.
Woo-hoo!
I guess it's T-Bone's timeout, huh?
T-Bone's.
All right, we got the latest in what's happening in sports around the world, and it's your time, T-Bone.
All righty, let's see here. What do we got? I'm going to go ahead and talk about a sport that isn't even in season right now, and that is the game that we used to call America's pastime. Now most of us call it baseball, because it's not the nation's pastime anymore. But damn it, I grew up with it, and I'm going to love it till the day I die. Most of the things going on right now involve trades and free agency signings and that kind of stuff. Not a lot of big news this week as far as guys getting picked up. Interestingly enough, the New York Yankees general manager came under fire from his bosses for not wanting to spend too much money. They asked him to trim the payroll, and when he did not go out of his way to spend way too much money on another overpriced guy past his prime, George Steinbrenner's boys went ahead and paid for the guy anyway. So Brian Cashman, the GM for the Yankees, was not in the mood to spend a bunch of money on Rafael Soriano, but the Steinbrenner brothers went ahead and said, we'll spend the money anyway. It's got to be interesting to have a boss who is literally going to spend whatever money exists on the planet on a baseball team, and your boss tells you, as the guy with the unlimited credit card, to not spend too much money. And you actually show that restraint, and then they say, ah, screw it, we're going to do it anyway. I got to wonder what it feels like to be Brian Cashman.
The impulse buy.
He chose not to grab every candy bar on the checkout aisle, and Mom dumped it all into the basket anyway. So,
the funny thing is, Cashman does not look like a guy who belongs in sports at all.
Oh, no. No. Well, he's a pencil pusher.
Yeah.
And all the way.
And I could talk about the guys that don't belong in sports that have made such a big influence on baseball over the last decade with all these new statistical ways
Billy
of
Bean.
Looking at the game and everything anyway. But we could talk about that for days. So I'm just going to leave that one for the time being. In hockey news, some people played hockey today. I have no idea who won or lost, and I don't care. So look somewhere else if you want to know about hockey. In college basketball, the Long Beach State 49ers.
Yeah, 49ers!
For as much as I love our boys in black and gold, they took their first conference loss of the season tonight. Dropped one to Cal State Fullerton, those dirty orange and blue boys. 89-87. They still hold first place in the gigantically awesome Big West Conference. fighting for that automatic bid to March Madness to be the number 15 seed. Let's see here. San Diego State still undefeated, rolling along in the top 10. In the NBA, the Lakers had a chance to continue the Mavericks' misery. The Mavs have lost six in a row with Dirk Nowitzki out and just a general flood of problems that come along with playing for Mark Cuban. The Mavs went ahead and took it to the Lake Show tonight. The Lakers are in a little bit of a funk.
How'd they do against the Clippers?
The Clippers took the Lakers to the house.
Woo-hoo!
The Lakers went on the road to the Staples Center a couple nights ago and lost to the Clippers on the blue and red floor. A couple nights later, Blake Griffin continued his dominance. I believe he had his 27th double-double in a row. Put down 47 points and I think 19 or 20 rebounds on the Pacers. And the Clippers, they're getting closer to 500. And
wait, you got to realize they were 1-13 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, and they have certainly turned things toward respectability. I'm going to put it that way. That's going to be just about all the basketball commentary I have for the evening. Let's see here. On to, in case you guys didn't notice, I do enjoy the college sports. They are a good source of entertainment for myself. Right now, one of the big things going on is that underclassmen in the college football ranks who want to enter the draft had to declare for the draft this week. normally I hate following college recruiting and the NFL draft. I think that stuff is just the kind of crap that people do when they're done playing Dungeons and Dragons for the day. But let's see here. This is a draft this year that is interesting to me because the NFL is kind of in a state of flux going into 2011. They are renegotiating the collective bargaining agreement between the players' union and the owners. And signs right now are pointing towards a possible lockout for the 2011 season. The sticking points are the 18-game season that the NFL owners want, and the players would like to see a bigger percentage of overall revenues go into player salaries. So it's going to be interesting over the next month and a half to see how that shapes up. There is a distinct possibility there will not be an NFL season next year. I still think it's going to get done, but interestingly enough, for such a uncertain market, more underclassmen than ever declared for the NFL draft this year. 56 players who are not done with their college eligibility decided to eschew that and go ahead and take their chance in the NFL.
The big bucks.
And you know what? I don't blame a damn one of them, because if you are going to get suspended or have your team put on probation for accepting a meal after a game or something like that, or you could go ahead and make, let's say, $900,000 to be a backup wide receiver. I'm going to take the 900 G's and get it while I can.
Except to ride in a golf cart across campus.
Yeah. Oh, I have to donate some proceeds to charity to make up for that ride across campus. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of NFL football, I believe last week I said do not count the Jets out.
Yeah, I had the pride of going a whopping 1-3 in my predictions for the last round, for the divisional round of the playoffs. I went ahead and went out on a limb and said that the Ravens were going to beat the Steelers. Big Ben is pretty clutch under pressure, you know? He can beat the heat, whether it's coming from the Ravens or the DA's office. And he did that again this last week. So, with the Patriots and the Jets, I really did not buy the Jets talk, but my God, did they back it up. Wow.
Wait, now, didn't you put your money on the Seahawks?
No, the Seahawks were the only team. The Seahawks-Bears was the only game I got right. Pete Carroll, you do a better job of coaching players that are not openly getting paid. But, you know,
he got him to the playoffs.
Hey, the Seahawks, they do have the distinction of being the only team in NFL history to finish 8-10. Mathematically, it's been impossible all these years for any team to do that.
Yep.
And the Seahawks have trumped common decency and mathematics and gone ahead and done it. So congratulations, Seattle, for your place in the NFL record books this year. For the NFC and AFC championship games, we've got the Packers against the Bears in the black and blue showdown.
And you know what I read recently?
What's that?
Was that this is the first time ever that these two teams have... Or no, second time ever these two teams have played each other in the playoffs. I was like dumbfounded by that.
Well, that actually doesn't surprise me that much because the wild card era really kind of coincided with the resurrection of the Packers, and
right.
That happened to be at a time when the Bears, for the most part, they weren't the Lions. Actually, the Lions were better than the Bears back
right.
then, but they still weren't as bad as
it
the Lions.
It just seems so weird.
So,
you think of two midway teams that should have played each other in the playoffs, and just, it just seems like that they should have.
Yeah.
And to hear that they only had twice, that was interesting.
And that's gonna be probably, I mean, they're both going to be miserably cold weather games. They're both going to be games that are rematches from the regular season. The Packers, I tell you what, the Packers are playing better than any other team that is left.
Right.
I did not see the dismantling that they put on the Falcons coming. If you did, then you are a heck of a lot smarter than I am. But, my goodness, I know the Falcons, the one knock on them going into the end of the season was that for everything that they did well, it was a little vanilla, a little predictable. The Packers just... Jeez, they're doing everything at a level that nobody else is right now. The 49er fans out there are really, really sad that
Niners.
They didn't take a chance on Aaron Rodgers. But hey, Alex Smith, not a bad consolation prize. So
I liked watching Aaron Rodgers play at Cal. It was a good time.
Yeah.
You and I went to a couple of those games together, didn't we?
I didn't go to an Aaron Rodgers game. Well, no, that first time up in Cal, yeah, we did. But I do remember the 2004 Cal SC game at the Coliseum when Rodgers
completed his first 23 passes of the game, and then didn't throw any. He threw no incompletions the whole game until the drive when they actually needed him to march down and take the lead again. And USC ended up winning that game and going on to win the national championship. And that one they got to keep.
So Dave in the chat line says that Carroll already fired his offensive coordinator, and there's a rumor that Norm Chow was seen in Seattle Airport. And he also says that Norm Chow may be interviewing for jobs at Utah and SDSU.
Well, because Norm Chow, it is well known that Norm Chow and Pete Carroll do not like each other.
They work well together.
That doesn't mean they like each other.
You don't have to.
I think that both of those guys are consummate professionals. I think that both of those guys would put football ahead of any personal conflict they might have. And that seems like, for Norm Chow, I think that doesn't really seem like that big of a thing. I mean, the guy is pretty much ice. Like, he doesn't seem flappable, if you will. Pete Carroll is a passionate dude, though. I mean, the guy...
He gets worked up.
He rides the highs. He doesn't go down with the lows of a game, but, my God, that guy is not afraid to show his emotion. And I still think that he is such a professional out there that I really don't see that... If he thought it was the best thing for his football situation, he'd do it again in a heartbeat.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't really know that it's going that way, but...
What are you here? Get your ass up and... up in the booth and send down some calls.
That's a great thing. If he's his offensive coordinator, they don't even have to see each other on game day. It's like, just be in my ear. That's fine.
Right, yeah, but Chow is good. I mean, he's a good offensive coordinator. He should never have gone to UCLA. But...
Or the Titans.
Well, he went to the Titans because, what's his name, an SC grad?
Fisher.
Fisher, yeah.
By the way, Fisher is the longest tenured coach of any NFL team now. He's been with the Titans since the year they moved to Tennessee. They were still the Oilers for his first year in Tennessee, I believe. But he is the longest-running active head coach now in the NFL, which I still think the Titans are like a new thing. So, it's still like, what the hell happened to the Oilers?
I was working for a guy who actually tried to buy the Titans. And he tried real hard and got shut out, which was the first time... At least
he's
when
never
I
told him.
Yeah, he was pissed off. And that was kind of fun to watch.
Those good old boys don't get told no very often.
No.
But here's what I think is going on this weekend. AFC Championship game.
Predictions.
We've got the Jets and the Steelers. The Jets are riding high right now, you know, but I made the mistake of going against the Steelers last week, and I just can't do it again. I really do think that Roethlisberger and his receivers do things with that offense.
You know, if you're going to be a real sports guy,
yeah,
you're going to have to give us some scores. Some...
All right, here we go. You want a score. Pittsburgh 23, New York 17.
All right.
With a drive that comes up short as time expires. Sanchez picks off in the end zone.
I can see something like that
happening. In the NFC... Packers are gonna win, even if it's in Chicago. It kills me to say it. The people in the cheese are gonna be real, real excited. And I think this one's gonna come down to a Jay Cutler pick as well. And that one I think is a little more obvious than a Sanchez pick. But I'm going with the Packers defense taking care of it right now, and not to mention Rodgers doing what he does week in, week out. He's gonna bomb away. Packers 31, Bears 21. Not quite as exciting, but...
I hope not.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Steelers...
This is not what I want. Exciting. This is what I think. And unfortunately, they rarely coincide.
Steelers game and the Jets game, I think, would be more interesting.
For sure. If you're only going to watch
I don't know if you guys watched... If you watched that Steelers-Ravens game this last week. Yeah. I mean, both regular season games, incredibly physical. Like, these teams beat the shit out of each other in a way that no other matchup in the NFL lives up to right now. And I think that for the Steelers to come out on top of that one in the slugfest that they were in, I don't see anybody stopping them before maybe the big one where it's just... Super Bowl still, to me, feels like a toss-up. Even... All the preparations aside, it's still 2 weeks.
You've got a layoff. That's the thing. It's just 2 weeks.
It's just such. It's so out of the ordinary. I don't care how disciplined your team is. It's a whole different thing.
See, I think if they played the Super Bowl the very next week, things would be a whole lot different. But you give 2 weeks, teams teams fall out of their momentum. Other teams get players back. It totally becomes a toss-up at that point.
It's totally seen. I mean, we're talking college football, though, but I mean, the way that they push the national championship game way into January.
Well,
yeah.
what they've done, these
teams are like...
It's almost like a whole new...
I'm on Christmas break! Yeah. I don't want to play football! I'm done with this shit!
It's almost like a whole new season.
Right, yeah.
Well,
and same with the Super Bowl,
and the college game, they definitely use it for that. I mean... The biggest thing for college teams that aren't playing for the championship, but they get a bowl game, let's say they get a New Year's Day bowl, they just scored 3 more weeks of practice to get all their freshmen and young kids more reps with these guys before their guys go off to the NFL and everything else. I think for most teams, it's
just... You get a lot of players who would have been on the bubble are now healthy.
Get on the mend after a couple weeks.
But the thing is if you've...
Or you have time for guys to get in trouble and get a DUI.
Well, that too.
If you've been bruised up and 3 weeks down the road, you're starting to feel better. So you don't want to go back out there and get all bruised up again. You know, when you're hitting every day, seriously, you're kind of used to it. And
3 weeks off, you get a little gun shy.
Yeah, it's like coming back to Hell Week after summer, man.
You do it because you have to, but not necessarily because you want to.
Exactly.
Well, I know that every time we had a bye week in high school, that was when the coach decided to beat the shit out of us more than we would normally go through.
Yeah, you don't want you to forget how
you don't want to forget how that feels. I think that a lot is said for getting a little time to rest up, but losing that football timing is a big thing.
Well, they talk about...
The 45-day break for a team that wins their conference championship and is playing in the national championship game, I think is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, they talk about, from a health, from a fitness point of view, it takes... when you peak, when you've trained for one particular time, you peak, you have about a week or 10 days where you're in perfect fitness.
Right.
After that, if you're not playing games, you actually come down. So you're not physically as fit. You might be more rested, but you're not physically... You don't have that combination of taking the hits and all that, and being in the physical fitness. So I think it does a disservice to the whole game. Personally.
Well, especially sports like football, when a lot of it is timing.
Timing.
You guys want a three step drop, and you get to...
What about those linebackers? Kind of they got to read and hit.
Yeah, but when you're not doing that on a regular basis, when you take that time off, you got to get that timing back. You got to get back in sync with your receivers. You got to get back in sync with, like you said, with your reads and stuff like that. So it's tough. It's tough to come back. And that's why the first quarter of a lot of those games are dull. Unless somebody runs back a kickoff or something.
I don't know if you guys... I mean, I don't know how much you caught of the games this last weekend. But the Bears and the Steelers... Well, the Patriots and the Steelers had byes.
Yep.
And the Bears had a bye. And the Falcons had a bye. And other than the Bears, the three teams that sat out the first week of the playoffs got out of the gate real slow and real sloppy. Yeah. I mean, the Bears jumped all over Seattle early. But Baltimore dominated the first half, not offensively, but just taking advantage of Pittsburgh's mistakes. The Patriots, they scored on their opening drive. But after that, the Jets really handled them in the first half. Yeah. And the Packers, we all know what the Packers did to the Falcons. I mean, it was... They plucked them. the layoff hurt most of the teams, and
that's only 2 weeks. I mean, if you're talking even longer than that? It's physically, your body's just not... If you're that kind of level, you need to stay in it, and you're always on the razor's edge. Too much time off is almost always worse than not enough time off.
All right,
that's
man.
It. I'm picking against the Bears, but if they win, then President Obama will be attending the Super Bowl to watch the Bears. So.
The Bears! All right, here we go. Here's the...
You're the only person hearing that.
Alrighty. So what's happening now? Tell everybody what you talked about. Egg Heaven a few minutes ago, a little earlier, but I don't think we talked about it on Z Talk.
Okay. Well, yeah, Egg Heaven. great little spot. I must say, we're always searching for new places to eat, and we're coming up. Taylor and I were just talking about this the other day in the office. Is that we're coming up on our 100th post. And that's going to be a momentous day for us when we do post our 100th post. But we're coming up on that, like 2 or 3 posts away from it. And so we're always trying to find someplace new, try someplace new. And I was on my way to the Coffee Cup Cafe this morning to have breakfast. And I was like, shit, man, I got to write. So I got to eat someplace new. So I wandered into Egg Heaven and had the Zemino omelet, which was spicy meat sauce inside the omelet, in a 3-egg omelet with avocado and sour cream on top of it, with a big heaping thing of potatoes and sourdough toast, and it was delicious. It was delicious. I didn't even feel like eating lunch today. You know what it's like trying to take a fat guy? Well, I didn't even feel like it. It was free because it was my Lions Club meeting day.
There you go.
And I didn't even partake in lunch.
Wow.
Because it was so good.
You know what we're going to have to do is we're going to have some of the listeners to give us some food type suggestions.
Sure.
And then you can venture out into our area and taste a fair.
Yeah, yeah. I would love to get some East Coasters out there telling us, you know, what they're eating. We'll give them some what we're eating out here, you know. But yeah, you know, something else that happened this week that was fun is the Long Beach Racers. We entered our Not So Supra in the Lemons race. It's called the Sears Pointless. It's at Sears Point up there in Sonoma. And we are going to race the 24 Hour of Lemons, which is an endurance race for $500 cars. And we're racing that in March.
Cool.
We're going to be up there smashing around the race course with smoke flowing out of the pipe.
And hopefully
make it further than 25 laps, which we did last time before we blew the motor.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's all in fun.
Hey, yeah, man. Yeah, man. It's always fun to get
a little
on a
bribery.
Race course. Yeah. if you've never seen a Lemons race, it's pretty amazing. It's kind of like playing Mario Kart for adults, but you're in real cars, because they put like 180 cars on the track at one time. And they even had, in this last race we raced up at Buttonwillow, they even had a limousine driving around the course. They call it the Rolling Chicane. It was just a moving target that you had to, like, constantly pass and bump into and shit. It is unbelievable amount of fun.
I have to come out and check that out one of these days.
Yeah, it's a blast.
It reminds me of, what do they call it? The Demolition Derby.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, but they really do penalize people for too much contact. That's what's kind of fun about this whole thing. It's like, if you're out there smashing into people, they pull you into the pits, and they weld spikes on the front of your bumper, so the next time you rear end somebody, they go through your radiator, and you're out of the race. The funniest one I heard about, actually, was this one team kept spinning off the course, right? And so they brought the car in, they put them in the penalty box, they jacked the car up and took all 4 wheels and tires off the car. They made the team take the wheels and tires and go sit in the grandstands with their wheels and tires so that their wheels and tires could see how the other cars stayed on the track. And they made them sit up there for an hour with their arms around their wheels and tires. I mean, how great is that? They also have the Bart Simpson penalty where they make people write standards down the side of their cars. This one guy kept burning up his brakes, and he had to write 25 times down the door of his car, "My brakes are an essential part of my race car." And he had to write it completely down the whole side of his car 25 times. How great is that shit?
Oh, you listen to the Swoops World on ztalkradio.com, and we'll be right back.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. But it turns out I wasn't alone. At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of vets who've got your back. Whether it's managing the transition home or everyday stuff like finding a nice sweater for my dog.
Sweater?
Okay, maybe not that. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
Hey there, Z-Talk listeners, it's Rob from Night Views Radio, reminding you to keep up with all the latest Night Views news by going to nightviewsradio.com. Read up on the latest show news, blogs, and happenings. Get more info on our featured show guests. Easy access to our official YouTube page and Facebook fan page, where you can get exclusive Night Views giveaways, pictures, and more. Plus, find archives of past shows to enjoy. Find out what you're missing at Night nightviewsradio.com. That's nightviewsradio.com, your exclusive webpage for Night Views on Z Talk Radio.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Hi, this is Barry Rolera. You're listening to Scoop World.
World, and that's Last Day Off, and the song is called Party, and they'll be our guest next week here on Swoops World. And let me put that in the thing there. There we go. All right, and so Taylor, you got a new job, huh?
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, let me take a sip here. These chips are just addictive. I recently accepted a promotion of sorts. Now I am the director of the rap after school program at Hughes Middle School, one of the middle schools here in Long Beach, right here in the Bixby Knolls, Cal Heights part of town. So today was my first day. Got to meet my new coworkers and some of the kids. It's going to be an interesting... I suck at names. Horrible names. So today I got bombarded with about 100 names today, and it was just... I had to just say up front with pretty much all of them, I'm not going to remember this today. Bear with me, because I will get it.
Before he forgets my name half the time.
Well, I've got plenty of names to call you.
His problem is in knowing your name, it's picking which one applies to the moment.
Well, and see, and I'm never ever going to feel bad about it either, because I'm the youngest of three brothers, and any time my mom was chasing any one of us down the hallway with the wooden spoon or the belt or whatever, she had to cycle through all the names, and finally she just said, "Whoever you are," and that was when you were in trouble. Was when it doesn't matter who you are, you're getting this right now. So I'm never going to feel too bad about screwing up a name, especially the first day.
What's in a name?
Have those kids will be gone next year anyhow.
Yeah,
so you're good.
That's the thing, you know.
Middle school.
You always get a new crop.
That's why they call it middle.
Yeah.
They're going somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's a temporary holding pattern.
It's like purgatory right there, man.
Middle school.
Purgatory,
man.
Might be too kind of description for middle school, though.
True enough. My kid's heading there next year, actually.
Man, I hated school until I made it to college. High school was good.
Hated school even in college.
Yeah, high school was fun, but
you know, it's funny.
It all sucked.
I enjoyed school the whole time, you know?
Yeah?
Yeah, I did. I had fun.
I always had somewhere better to be.
You know, we talked about this before, but I went to all-boys Catholic high school. So it was like literally like going to school in a frat house, man. It was so much fun.
Or prison.
No. You would think it would be that way. But when there's no women, guys kind of don't front. They're not trying to be bigger than who they are. They just are who they are. So it's kind of like everybody's just kind of getting along because there's nobody that you got to be tough for. There's no chick to impress in the room.
I'm not sure I'm buying this.
Well, no, it's the truth. Dude, I will tell you, you know how I know it's true? Is because 75% of the guys that I was close friends with in high school, I'm still good friends with those guys. And I hardly know any of my other friends that have friends from high school that they're still that close friends with. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that brotherhood and camaraderie and stuff is much more accepted because you don't have to be tough in front of the girls in class.
Can
build good relationships making out in the locker room, too.
Well, not me.
You say you weren't pursued in high school?
Well, no, I had a lesbian girlfriend. Oh.
So even that relationship was all quick, huh?
Your whole life has been a farce.
Speaking of girlfriends, man, you should have seen this thing that Diane had cut out of her arm today.
Okay, now what happened here?
All right, so 4 years ago, she thought it was cool. This is my 35-year-old girlfriend. She thought it was cool 4 years ago to get this surface piercing. Now, you know, you see them a lot on girls, and the weird thing is a lot of them have them in between their breasts.
Yeah.
They have them kind of on their sternum,
right?
You know? But she had it on her wrist. And I kept telling her, you know, you don't want to go swimming in Lake Elsinore. I kept telling her this, and she keeps saying...
Where the fish float to the top?
I'm going on a camping trip to Lake Elsinore. I said, first of all, why the hell do you want to do that?
Secondly,
do not get in the water.
Well, she went. Now's the time.
She went in the water, and this thing was never not infected since the day she got home from that trip. It was always infected. And so a couple, like, I think it was a month ago, she tells me, I'm going to go to urgent care and have this thing cut out of my arm. And I said, because it's weird, it's like a T, you know, like at the, you know, and they hook it underneath the skin. It's like a subdermal hook.
Yeah.
And I go, no, you don't need to go to urgent care. You know, let's just go talk to my old man. Because my dad's in the medical profession, and he's good at dealing with stuff like this, right? And so he tells her to put a hot compress on it and to keep it clean and whatever. It never cleared up. 3 weeks later, the thing looks disgusting. Looked like she had an eyeball
gangrene
coming out of her wrist, you know?
Looks like one of those carp that floated to the top of my house.
So we go to the urgent care with her today before the show. And the doctor's looking at her wrist, and he goes, well, you know, I'll just get the pus out of there, and then if it doesn't clean up, I said, no, doc, cut it out. She wants it out. She wants it gone. So he jams this scalpel in, after he numbs the whole area, and this little piece of T-bar, this little piece of metal comes rocketing out of her arm because the pus pressure was so high in there. This little piece of metal comes flying out, and I'm like, babe, that is effing disgusting. And she's all, I've been trying to tell you, but you made me talk to your dad about it. And I would have just had it cut out 3 weeks ago. So I got in trouble. And I still got in trouble.
Wait. No good deed goes unpunished.
Especially when there's a woman involved.
I'm telling you, this whole subdermal anchor piercing bullshit, forget about it. It was disgusting. And she keeps telling me, well, I don't like, you know, you gotta cover it up because if people touch it, it's an open wound all the time. That's exactly what I want on my arm. You know? Open wounds. That just sounds like an absolute great time to me. Yeah, no, much like Taylor's hand.
There's nothing wrong with my hand.
There's nothing wrong with my hand.
Because they're not the droids you're looking
That's
for.
Right, you have a little battle wound over there.
So how high did you score in the punching bag?
No comment.
No comment.
Did you get like super Mike Tyson strength in there?
No comment.
All right.
No comment doesn't fly.
We're leaving it.
No comment doesn't fly around here.
I'm afraid nothing else is going to fly either.
Guess what, to make it up.
Speaking of flying, I haven't heard our aircraft go over the top of our studio.
That's the benefit of broadcasting late. They're done for the night.
Everything's supposed to be done by 10 o'clock. So unless something's gone wrong.
Which does.
Which it all
three out of four nights.
It's done. But truth is that most of those late flights tend to be either when there's snowstorms or whatever going on in the Midwest.
Right. 'Cause
most of our stuff flying out of Long Beach is connecting. Mm-hmm. Or around the holidays. The holidays, because all the FedEx and UPS stuff leaves. They'll wait as long as possible to make sure the plane. Well, we're past that.
So 9:59, they're taking off from.
Oh yeah, future. No. Usually we have a FedEx or UPS. Either way, they interchange. Take off at like 9:55, and then one at 9:58. That's normal. And now we're past all that, so we should have silence. We should, unless a military jet takes off, which
can happen anywhere,
which
anytime.
It can happen anytime, and. Just for the record, in case it happens, has been happening all day. All day the F-18s have been taken off.
Oh,
so if
awesome.
Those things take off, we'll just have to stop talking because we won't be able to hear each other, let alone anybody on the radio hear us.
Long Beach Airport is such a great airport to fly out of, though. I mean,
it's super convenient.
Here's the problem, though. They're spending all this money on the parking structure here. Everyone that lives in Long Beach loves to fly out of Long Beach Airport because you can just have your friend drop you off. Or you can take a cab for $5.
Yeah. Exactly.
Parking structure, who
shit,
gives
I can walk.
Shit?
We don't need
that
stinking parking structure.
All you're doing is bringing in all the out-of-towners. We don't want that. Yep. I want that airport for me.
Although
it's that white curbs, all I need. Yeah.
for a long time, JetBlue was pretty much the airline that was carrying Long Beach Airport for a long time, right? I mean,
but before that, there was the little express.
But what
Southwest has always had some presence, but JetBlue was the big one.
They had cut a deal with JetBlue, you know, and JetBlue had said, okay, we'll continue to fly a bulk of our flights here as long as you build the new terminals that you were supposed to build. And then, like, what was it? It was only like 6 to 8 months ago that the Long Beach Post posted an article saying that JetBlue was threatening to pull all their operations from Long Beach because they're still using trailers for terminals 2 years after they said that they were going to have a terminal built.
Yeah, but JetBlue's been angling for some of that because they went down to LAX about a year and a half ago, checking out terminals over there, threatening to pull out here. And then they got a better deal here, so they're working the system.
That's what they do. They do that at every market that has like a minor league airport. That's where they swoop in. And say,
and
hey,
I think the big thing with JetBlue is they have a like out of the 40 something slots or something, they have a big chunk of them. But I think they wanted a bigger chunk. So I think that's what they're angling for is that. They wanted to get more of those slots, and to do so, they would have to turn other people away.
I see.
I think that was part of the
and we don't want them to bounce Allegiant out of there because right now they're doing those flights to Vegas for dirt cheap and all sorts of other.
What are they going for now?
Where else do they go?
$25?
It's pretty much all Western United States. Okay. I know my brother flew Long Beach to Montana somewhere like 6 months ago with them.
I'm looking at a flight to, like I wanted to fly.
They don't fly to Paris, dude.
No, I know.
Or Canetards.
Dude, I don't go to Canetards because it's fucking Canetards. Cold up there.
Hey, Canada, no. It's America's hat.
I said the airport started that. What?
It's funny how cold it is there.
It is.
Yeah, yeah. We had a brief problem with the sound. Otherwise, it's been crystal clear. But right there,
so,
it's a little fuzzy.
But I am trying to plan a trip to Washington D.C. and JetBlue flies.
They fly to D.C.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They fly nonstop. Because see, I got two kids. You don't want to have any layovers. You wherever you're going need to get there as fast as possible, and they fly nonstop. Now the downside. Is it's a red eye. So you get on the
Benadryl. Peter.
You get no. I tried that once. I tried that once with my oldest kid. Well, actually, I wasn't there. My wife tried this once, flying when we lived in D.C. Mm-hmm. from D.C. to California to visit the grandparents. And apparently, they don't tell you this on the label, but the doctor had said, my wife had talked to said, yeah, we're traveling. He said, give him Benadryl. What the doctor had failed to mention is that 1 in 1,000 children, Benadryl has the opposite effect. Guess which one? My son was running up and down. He was spastic. He was just, like, he's already, like, got a lot of energy.
Yeah.
He had a lot more energy. Wow. And so Benadryl is not the answer for my oldest. Anyhow, JetBlue flies to D.C. nonstop. The downside is the red eye. So that could be interesting.
Yeah, give them the munchies.
That's what my parents would have done back in the day. That's what my parents did do back in the day. So, I'm not above that.
That explains a lot, Peter.
You know, my grandparents used to put brandy on your lips and stuff like that.
Oh, but my grandfather used to.
Nowadays, a little hash oil can right out.
For 3 days.
For 3 days. Maybe drooling.
Oh, God.
Don't they have it at the club that you belong to? The don't club. They have a Suckers or Brownies?
They do have Suckers.
Yeah. Suckers, right? Amazing. Lollipops, good.
The other thing that's really good is the lemonade.
I haven't heard of that.
The drinks, yeah. I pounded two of them before I had to fly to Cabo, and I don't really remember much of that flight. It was good.
That's a good flight.
I mean, I hate flying. I'm 6'3", 290 pounds. I don't fit in a seat.
Oh, I know. And I don't fit in the seat, and you're bigger than me.
Right.
So, yeah, no, I can only imagine.
The thing that I love doing is my younger brother, Brett, you guys have met him. He's much bigger than I am. We buy Southwest tickets, and we check in the day ahead of time, so we get the A ticket, you know? And then we go, and we sit in a row, and one of us sits at the window, and one of us sits at the aisle, and nobody in their right mind is going to sit between the two of us. Nobody in their right mind.
They walk game plan.
Yeah, they look at us, and they're like...
That's a good game plan. I like it.
I don't think so. Like, you know, I mean, automatically people think that fat people smell. So, you know what I mean?
Well,
it's like, you know...
Well.
I'm just saying...
I mean, wasn't it you just last week talking about how things get stuck in the folds and everything?
Yeah, they never got stuck in my folds. We were talking about boot, remember?
Now, look at this right. You can get on a flight, but poor Kevin Smith's got to buy an extra seat.
Oh, he's just a publicity star.
He's an actor.
And I don't think I've ever heard someone say poor Kevin Smith before. I think that's a first.
Poor?
Yeah. Oh, that poor bastard. He gets to make billions of dollars to talk shit on everyone.
I like Kevin Smith.
And if there's someone who can afford an extra seat.
Yeah.
Well, that's a principle.
It's a principle of the matter.
Wasn't he flying Southwest, too?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Like he said, I came here on one of your planes. Only took one seat. Now I got to buy an extra one to get back.
He doesn't even look that fat. It's
a judgment call, they said, so it's kind of...
So you know, for your carry-on bag, they've got the thing where you have to try to stuff your bag into the little thing when you walk through security. Is there going to be a point where we have a thing where it's like, you have to walk through this gate, and if you don't fit through, you're not allowed to turn sideways. You have to face forward, and if you can't make it, then you have to buy an extra seat.
Like,
sir, we're going to have to check that ass.
Yeah, if your love handles scrape the sides, it's a judgment call.
It's kind of like stepping on the skeleton.
I was going to say, they can make it...
It's like... Okay, let's see what you're... Last week, you were able to get on our flight.
Man, nope, this week, not. This week, not. You got to buy an extra seat.
I joined a weight loss competition last week. Did I tell you guys?
No.
Yeah, with the Lions Club, with a whole bunch of old guys.
And then you went down and wolfed down a 19-8 omelet today.
Yeah, dude, I've got 4 months. 4 months to lose weight. Okay.
That just sounds like too long. Like, torturous.
It really does. But the thing is that I weighed in, and I've been telling everybody I was 270 for a while.
Whoops! You probably were.
No, 296 is what I weighed in. Right. And I thought to myself, friggin' fat man, you know? I'm just sitting there. See, I almost said it again. But then my buddy Danny Frechette walks in and weighs up at 373, and I was like,
woo,
baby, I am the
lightweight. You're lightweight.
I'm here.
296 never felt so good.
296, and my joints are already feeling better. Dude, I'm telling you, us fat guys, you've got to eat or drink joint juice or some shit like that, because this cartilage was not meant to carry this weight.
Well, now, hey, just for the record,
yeah,
if you're gonna wanna lose some of that 296,
yeah,
the meal you provided for us this evening, right, is probably not gonna help you.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the
and
problem.
The process how you get there probably ain't gonna help you either.
Here's the problem. I joined, and I'm gonna pay $100. The winner takes a grand.
No. You already sound like you're defeatist.
Yeah. Aim high, man. Come on.
I'm always aiming high.
We expect you to win. And we expect you to report here on Swoops Radio that you won.
Okay, I guess what I need to do is...
We just don't want you to bring in diet late-night snacking.
I actually was the one who went to the store and picked up the many various ingredients.
Okay, you continue to shop.
All three of them, right?
I had, yes, three ingredients, and I had the choice of real cream cheese, which I purchased.
Or the Neufchâtel.
Yeah, or the Neufchâtel.
How do you say it, Peter?
The low-fat crap. And I was like, the box actually says one-third less fat than cream cheese. I'm like... So you're just admitting that this isn't even cream cheese.
Yeah, right. Because, you know, the cream cheese and with the salsa on top and the Triscuits, that's another thing that is just absolutely bomb. And I can eat 3 cubes of cream cheese. No problem. and I mean, this is, I am not lactose intolerant. My body gets intolerant at a certain point. You know what I'm saying? I need some lactate.
I guess I'm over there. What are you doing over there? What are you eating? A cream cheese sandwich.
Is that cream cheese on your toast?
Yeah. Yeah. 2 blocks of cream cheese. What do you stick between it? A little.
It's the Philadelphia double down.
Oh, yeah, man. Could you imagine 2 blocks of cream cheese with fried chicken in the middle? How good would that be?
I'm just thinking logistics, and it's going to be a mess.
It's going to be a mess. It's going to be a tasty mess, though.
Yeah. I mean, anything with cream cheese is good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sushi with cream cheese weirds me out.
It is a little strange.
It does. It does. Because I had that.
That's where I draw the line.
Yeah. It's like, nah, I'll pass on that.
It's funny. Our fraternity brother, he learned how to do sushi over at when Wasabi was still in downtown. Uh-huh. He learned how to do it there, and he was saying that the only reason why cream cheese and avocado are actually allowed in sushi is because they fall into the correct, what is it? It's God, I can't think of what the word I'm looking for is, but the it's not a flavor profile, but consistency profile. You know what I mean? Like, there's totally certain things that you can put in.
It goes together.
And it has to fit this consistency profile. And the only reason why cream
texture,
cheese...
Texture. It's all about texture.
Yeah, texture profile. Mm-hmm. And the only reason why cream cheese and avocado make it into sushi is because they fit that correct profile for texture.
See, and well, in sushi and Japanese food and all that, there are other things that fit that profile, that texture profile, and go in. But they don't necessarily fit our taste, so they change them out.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's basically kind of taking that style of food and using our ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Those fit They're interchangeable so in that regard, avocado, but not necessarily for...
What does avocado sub in for most of the time, then? What do they eat in Japan?
Well, like in plum sauce. Not a plum sauce. A plum... Not plum sauce like we think of Chinese food.
Set. I know what you're talking about.
It's like a real plum. Like, they take like plums.
It's a sour...
Like a, yeah, it's like a soured, sour... There's a name thing. For it. Umio, something
they,
like that.
They try to hide it in the rice balls.
And, yeah. And it's it has that same texture... But it's like here in America, we won't eat it. So
we won't eat it in Japan either.
But it's considered a delicacy. So right. So, and it fits that characteristic. The other thing is, oh shoot, I just had it and I blanked on it. There's two things that it sort of fits the texture, not the flavor, but the texture, and also color wise. The Japanese are big on colors. So it doesn't necessarily have to taste good. If it's colorful, they'll throw it in there. Like, that's why you have pink
ginger. I'm sure they want it to taste good.
No, it should taste good. But, I mean, that's half the reason why you don't need to make ginger pink like that. It can have tons, but it's pickled. And so... What's that? There you go. Umamami. Somebody gave us that. And see? I was close, though, right? Yeah. And it's a crazy flavor. Like, you taste it, and it's like... sweet, and then super salty, and then a sour at the end. It's a weird... Like, we don't have anything like it in our palate, but from a just purely texture point of view, I'm guessing that's how that happens, is it fits the bill there.
Well, you know, when I was in Japan, you talk about those little plums.
Uh-huh.
I got this the kid's mom that I was staying with. It's changed to it. She made these sandwiches.
Oh my god!
And they're just
look like jelly, right?
They're rice balls with seaweed wrapped around it, okay. And it's kind of like a sandwich, right? So, you know, I'm eating away. And it's just a big mouthful of rice and seaweed, and then all of a sudden, in the middle, I bite into that sour plum.
That's what she
says. See,
it's salty and it's sour and
it's weird. I purchased some of that when I was doing some catering, and I was in a hurry, so I saw plums, plum sauce, right? You know, because Chinese plum sauce is
sweet.
Yeah, sweet, very nice. And so that's what I was assuming. I'm making my stuff, and I'm like, and I taste it. I'm like, oh my god, what? Somebody just tasted like somebody had dropped a whole bunch of vinegar and a whole bunch of salt into my. Whatever it is I was making, some sort of sauce. And that's when I realized that I had picked up the Japanese version,
right.
Not the Chinese version. Two totally different things. But that's... Hey. There it is.
The thing about that plum, though, is it grabs you. I mean, like, if you're not expecting that thing...
Oh, yeah.
And you bite into that, it just...
Yeah.
It'll wake you up.
It's like, whoa!
I'd rather have a spoonful of... wasabi. Right.
Yeah. And that's kind of what it's like. It's like the first time where you scooped up that sour cream sauce, right? And then you realize that's not sour cream sauce, that's horseradish sauce.
Oh, right, yeah.
And you're like, holy! Oh, it's almost that same sort of like wake you up sort of experience.
Absolutely.
On Saturday night, Diane made dinner for myself and a few of our friends, and she made a phenomenal dish. She took... we went to Whole Foods and bought fresh sausage, boiled the sausage in water, and then after the sausage is done boiling, like it's like three quarters cooked, she cut it up and then put it in a pan, and then she took the gnocchi, she was making gnocchi, and then she took the gnocchi and then she boiled those in the water that the sausage came out of. So it gives it it gave the gnocchi a good flavor, you know, with the sausage water that she was boiling it in. And then just store-bought sauce... But put a half a bottle of Chianti wine in it and then let it cook down. And then put the whole thing in a tray with mozzarella cheese all layered in with the gnocchi and the sausage and everything. And made like a baked dish and then put it in the oven. Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Well.
Diane can cook. And that's not going to help me get anything.
Have to have her do the late night snackings.
Yeah, Diane's late night snackings. Problem is when she has the green, she just goes to sleep. So she's not much good at the cooking.
But that could help you with the snacking.
Yeah, that's more snacking for me.
So it's not going
to
help you
then. You're listening to the Swoops World on ZTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back. Woo!
Oh, Lord. How y'all doing tonight? This here is Shamika Trudy Brown, and I just wanted to tell y'all about Scotty and Zeta. Ooh, that Scotty, he is something else. Listen, you would never meet such a nice person in all your life as Scotty, honey. He's kind to animals. He looks good in sunglasses. And he's just all-around good person. That's all I'm here to tell you about. Well, and Zeta. Oh, my Lord, she would give you the shirt off her back. Honey, she would give you her last nickel. Scotty and Zeta is just good people. And that's why I think you should listen to them on the bus every Monday night right here on ZTalkRadio.com, honey. I'm telling you, two better people you will not find. Ooh, Lord, can I get an amen up in here? Zeta, honey, when you mix out my check, make sure you spell my name right. That's Shamika with two E's and Tootie with two O's. And Brown. Shamika Trudy Brown. All right, then.
If you would like 2-carat diamonds for only $49, then come to Tom Tutman's Diamond Mine. If you would like personal service, then do not come to Tom Tutman's Diamond Mine, because he passed away last week at 47 from the same disease that got his father, so he won't be around for his family. And it could have been detected early with a simple test, but Tom didn't get it.
Have you gotten the medical test you need? For a list of tests every man should have, go to AHRQ.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Get a little older, I count my blessings before I sleep. And if I should die, don't try and wake me. Let this body be your dream about the days, my friend. Remember when, go on and dream. Christians, Catholics, Baptists, and Buddhists, these traditions handed down by men. What you believe is what you believe in. What you see or say is what you get. So dream about the days, my friend. Remember when, go on and dream. Go on and dream. Side of China, Shanghai or the moon, philanthropists, philosophers, what they never knew. Thank God for the simple things like me and you. Oh, babe, like me and you. So dream about the days, my friend. Remember when, go on and dream. So dream about the days, my friend. Remember when, go on and dream. But every night I get a little older, I count my blessings before I sleep. If I should die, don't try and wake me. Let this body be your dream. By the days, my friend. Remember when, go on and dream.
Come on and dream.
So dream. By the days.
And that's called Dream, and that's by Raspin Stewart, and he's a past guest on our show.
One hell of a cool dude.
Very cool dude.
And he can play the guitar.
Yeah.
He's great.
Who was the guy that he had with him on the show?
Rommel. There it is. Yeah.
That guy had some.
But anyway, if you are on the West Coast...
Which we are.
His, yeah. His CD's been picked up by a station over here called 94.7 The Wave.
The Wave!
So we're trying to get everybody to give them a call, the request line, and request Raspin' Stewart. And that one was called Dream. He's got Smoke the Hookah. What else has he got?
Rumblin' Tumblin'. Rumblin'
Tumblin'. What a great Rumblin' song. Rumblin' Tumblin'.
Great song. Great
song. If you
want
to call The Wave, the number is 800-520-9283. So give them a call and yeah, check it out.
I don't think The Wave has Swoop and Seelib's rendition of Snoop Dogg.
They don't have. They don't have Roll.
That was the Oreo cookie version of some Snoop Dogg. Right
there. Oh god! So the other day, I was you guys are always talking about your what do you call that predilection?
Your
involvement in the. Munchie category.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm flipping channels, and I see there's this special on CNN or CNBC about Colorado and the whole marijuana industry. And you saw it too, Taylor, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I actually caught that one over Christmas vacation. It was very informative.
It was pretty interesting.
When I see a large network station that something says marijuana on the guide, I am in there. You know, I'm DVRing that shit.
Well, you know... The interesting thing about it was there's this couple. I mean, there's several things, but one of the interesting, there's this couple. They own a restaurant, and then she's a, what does she do? She's kind of an advertising executive. Husband's a chef. She was a intelligence officer for the Naval, and he was a Marine Corps previously. So they run this huge, and they say... It's really weird because they kind of, it's legal, but it's kind of not. And he said, every time you get a knock on the door, you're still not sure if it's going to be the feds or not.
The ATF or
yeah,
whatever.
But still, but they righteously, once a month at his restaurant, he has cooking classes where he's actually making things and he's got the marijuana out there and he's teaching the class full of people how to do it and all this kind of stuff.
And the thing that... It doesn't surprise me, but it still makes me chuckle, is the fact that when you look at the people that were sitting in attendance for this class, 75% of them were retired senior citizen types.
Well, I saw an article not too long ago, and they said the majority is because of the baby boomers. The majority of the people who have the medical marijuana cards are baby boomers. And they said there's a number of reasons why. They said one of the reasons why is because they grew up with marijuana, sure. In high school, college, and stuff. Then many of them went on and worked these careers, so they couldn't do it for a number of 20, 30 years.
Because if they got tested, they lost their job, right. Or their license, or whatever else.
And now they're at the point where they're getting ailments and stuff like that, and they're thinking back. They said, you know what? When I used to smoke, I would feel this way and feel that way. I'd rather do that than take these meds or take this meds and that meds. So they said the majority of the people that are actually getting these cards are the baby boomer generation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 60 years old and up. So that's probably why I saw that too, that classroom, people that were taking a cooking class.
Well, five, 6 months ago, the LA Times did a whole article about these businesses that have cropped up, hydroponics.
Uh-huh.
Businesses where they will come into your house and create a green room, and the guy they interviewed two different companies doing this, and both of the guys said most of our clients are well-to-do retirees. So you know, again, that fits that same.
And I'm telling you, the people that I see walk out of the club when I'm walking in or walking out, whichever. Sometimes it's shirt and ties. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It's not dirtbag people.
No,
no. It is professionals that like to get stoned on their off hours. You know what I mean?
I thought they had to have a medical situation. They couldn't just like to get stoned. I thought you had a prescription because it was some kind of ailment.
Well, of course. I mean, but that can be as far as not being able to sleep at night, anxiety problems. I mean, maybe these people.
Arthritis.
Maybe these people are like our DA. That was just on you know, I'm not saying that, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that, like, has a job like that where they're super stressed out all the time. I mean, you know, she herself was just talking about how she takes her work home with her and has a couple of drinks before she goes to bed. Maybe there's other people that are in that situation that, you know, that do that kind of stuff. I mean, I know that my dad, after working with hospice patients, he doesn't smoke weed, but he'd like to, but he can't because he loses his license. I mean, that's the same situation that a lot of people in professions that are in that situation are dealing with. You know, they would rather, of course, be, you know, whether it's antidepressants or whether it's whatever it is, would rather smoke weed. But, you know, they take their work home with them, and they're tired, and they don't feel good or whatever. And you know, I think that it's...
But the thing is, you don't get a prescription for a glass of wine, so...
Well, yeah,
I think the ailment part, when you said that there's the people there just like to get high, then you can't take away from... I mean, that's... as what you're going to get from... When we were having these discussions, when they were talking about the debates, and Long Beach is still going through this. I saw an article the other day that... What's going to happen is when it's thought of like that, then you're going to lose the ability to get your treatment. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I really don't know. I just know that, you know, people are stressed out and they want to come home and they want to relax and they want to do their thing. And anxiety is a huge problem in our society, and people are always talking about people having anxiety attacks. I mean, how often is something on Oprah about, you know, people that have anxiety attacks?
I don't watch
that
Oprah,
freaking out, or, you know, I mean, there's things all over the place on the news about people that have anxiety problems. And weed is, I mean, that's, to be honest, that's why I smoke weed, because I have a huge problem with anxiety. I freak out. I get home from work, I have all this shit on my plate, I can't sleep. That's the reason.
You didn't say you couldn't eat.
Well, does it look like I've ever had a problem eating? I mean, does it look like I've ever had a problem?
You might have been anorexic, I don't know. Oh man! So yeah, that was I mean, the thing with that whole special, which was like an hour and a half or something. I don't know, it was kind of a long one. Colorado apparently is getting somewhat lenient, and it's an actual medical industry. But once again, it's a lot like California, where it goes so far. You know, where they're still not sure if they're totally legal. And the guy said they got in trouble one time. The people that they were talking to that on the restaurant, they got in trouble one time because of something about the amount of plants they were growing or something. You remember, Taylor?
I can't remember why it was that their operation got in trouble. The main one that stuck with me was
the
single guy who got just. I mean, the guy that still has an anklet on.
Oh, that guy! Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, you know, it's weird because they still, for as much as that industry is flourishing in some of these states here, especially in the western United States, it is still most definitely in violation of federal law.
Well, you know what? You know,
no way around
you know,
that. You know, it's on that list.
Here's the thing. Here's the moral to the story. When you talk about the guy at the anklet and you talk about the other couple... The other couple were big, huge contributors to some campaigns, and he went.
He was not
using
anyone's
funds,
and that definitely made a difference, I'm sure. So you can still buy your way into a lot of good graces in this country, and God bless it for it.
A little payola never hurt so bad. Oh gosh! You know what? Coming up next week, we have. I tell you, what was that? Last day off. And I met those guys. They're a pretty good band, actually. And they have a really, they're kind of, I don't know how you call it. They're young, and they got kind of a top 40-ish kind of sound to them. And they were actually at the New Farmers Market. And met them and saw them play, and I checked out. They have a ton of videos, or a couple of videos out, and very high-quality stuff. But they're very good. They're very good musicians, and we're looking forward to having them next week. It's four. I think they're from San Pedro area, maybe. But go to check them out. We played their song earlier today. It's called Party. But we have a lot of new guests on the horizon coming up the next few weeks. So they're the ones that'll be here next week. And what do you guys got planned for the weekend, man?
Well, we got some football games.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happened with the velodrome, man? You didn't tell me. I asked you that.
Yeah, sorry, my bad. You know what happened was so I signed my kid up, my son, my older, for there's this woman who was I think she's a gold medalist, but I know she's a medalist for the 84 Olympics, and afterwards she set up a velodrome So that's bicycling.
In the short track kind of deal?
Exactly. And she set up this program for kids. And the deal is that they provide everything. They don't give it to you, but I mean, you show up, they give you a bike to ride. They'll even give you a helmet if you don't have one. And it's all free. And for 8 weeks, you get to, you know, ride around the track.
Aerodynamic helmets?
Well, they don't quite go that far, because we're talking about, you know, 10-year-olds or so. 12, I guess, yeah, 8 to 14, 8 to 16, something like that. So anyhow, so I signed my kid up. They told me that my classes, my son's classes, would start last Friday. And then 2 days before last Friday, they sent me an email saying that it'll start this Friday.
Ah.
So, we haven't done it yet. Long story short. But my son is excited about it. And so I'll be able to report next week about how it went. But
how much the angle of the bank on the track is, too.
I heard it's something like 22% at the high. Wow. But, you know, we're talking 10-year-olds here. So I know on the low end, it's totally, totally flat. So I'm totally speculating because I haven't been there. My guess is the first, you know, they're going to tell them the rules. For the first half of the thing, you do this, you do that. The next half of it, it's an hour and a half. The next half, they'll get to do some laps. I'm thinking before he really gets into going up high and banking, you were talking weeks. But cool thing about this is my son's he can ride. I mean, and I've spoken about this many times. We've gone just this past weekend, we went 25, 26 miles. He's always bitching. Anytime there's the slightest bit of wind, he's just bitching. It's just nonstop. Dude, the wind is just blowing. And of course, I'm riding a bike that's got it's got saddlebags, so everybody's gear, like extra clothes, extra food, extra water. Plus, my daughter has a ride along, so she's attached to my bike. So I'm carrying an extra 70, 80, 90 pounds. And he's complaining about a little bit of wind. I'm like, dude. So this is the perfect sport for him. It's indoors. Yeah. It's on a wooden. It's super slick. This guy should be in seventh heaven. So I will report next week to let you know how that all went. I would have loved this opportunity. And like I said, the greatest thing about this is it's all free. Of course, if you do the 8 weeks and you like it, that's when they hit you up. I think it's like 80 or 90 bucks to join. But even then, they still provide you with a bike. It's, yeah, like, you don't get to take the bike home.
Amazing, though.
But you get to use the bike. They provide you with bikes to ride. And then, of course, if you get serious...
How do they even cover their insurance bill?
I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's crazy. So that's why I'm jumping on this, because it's a great opportunity. And like I said, it fits my son's bill, because he'll ride all day as long as the wind's blowing behind him. So this is about as close as it gets. Should be fun. Should be a lot of fun. Somebody wake C-Lib over there. He hasn't said anything in a long time.
He's in the zone.
I thought he was asleep. Should be fun.
It's enough bike talk. Hey, what do you got planned for the weekend there, Taylor?
This weekend? Well, let's see. My roommates are returning from New Zealand tomorrow. So I have to start wearing clothes around the house again.
Mm.
Kind of a bummer. But
that's a real drag.
One of my roommates is a huge Steelers fan, so something tells me we're going to end up watching the AFC Championship game together this weekend.
Imagine that.
It's part of why I'm pulling for a Steelers win at this point, is because if he were still in another country, I wouldn't really care. Being that we're going to be around each other, I would prefer him to be in a happy place than the alternative, which is a very not happy place.
And what about you, brother?
Oh, Saturday. Saturday, I think I'm gonna go work on my van on Saturday. I'm making a little miniature motorhome out of a '77 Dodge van, and so my dad's buddy, my dad's stoner buddy, gave me a van that he doesn't that he just kind of lost interest in, with a brand new rebuilt motor, and it's got a 440 big block V8 in it. So, I'm building that into a little miniature motorhome for the girlfriend and I to go camping and whatnot. And then Sunday, Sunday I'm going with my buddy Miles to Chuck E. Cheese for one of his nephews. The reason I gotta go is because his family's a total train wreck and he won't go without having backup. So we gotta go. Diane and I are going to support him in the
in the
disaster. Yeah, you know, it's, yeah, man. When you go over to his parents' house and you're pouring yourself a drink, his parents always say, "Now pour me the next one." And I was like, "This one was yours," and they're like, "Three fingers. Three fingers is how much booze goes in my drink."
Oh man!
So yeah, you know, I'm all about supporting friends through their family trials and tribulations.
Yeah, that's gonna be tough, man.
Yeah, man. But you gotta be there for the support.
You gotta do that. I'm gonna go see my buddy Stevie Mac. He's gonna be out here at the Cellar Sunday night. So I'm gonna check him out and listen to him tell some funny jokes. And I don't know what I'm gonna do Saturday yet. Haven't decided. It's wide open.
Laundry.
Yeah, my cleaning lady did my laundry.
Cleaning lady, huh? Yeah. Look at you, living large.
Hey, man. Hey, man, you're not living unless you're C-living. But, you know, no, but the real deal is that my roommate's an attorney, and he makes a lot of money, and he just doesn't want to live in, you know what I mean? Like, he's like, "I want the place spotless." And I said, "That's fine. Pay for a house cleaner." He's like, "I will do that in a second." So, I mean, it's like, why not have a house cleaner? He's paying the bill.
Hell yeah.
You know, and the place is going to be spotless.
Well, and he knows that $50 that he spent on the house cleaner also goes towards him getting laid later in the night
because
by
his wife lives
because
with
she doesn't have to clean either. So it's a good investment all around.
Yeah.
Makes for a happy home.
Stacey said, "Be nice to Chuck E. Cheese." Hey, Stacey, we just had a show where we were talking about
Chuck E. Cheese is not high on the
child
list
predators and where they hang out.
And I'm a hugger.
I mean, I'm a 20-something male who works with other people's kids 5 days a week. So
yeah, I mean, Peter pretty much already called Taylor out for
that.
I'm not letting my kid go to the rap program.
I must have.
Oh man.
You know those guys who run those things.
Yeah, man. You know those people.
You know, it's like Catholic priests. Probably 90% of them are good.
Yeah. That's all I'm
asking
for.
It's the 10%. I'm just asking for the recognition that most of the people in the profession have the best interests of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I can take the scary looks and the paranoia, whatever, you know. I'm paranoid as shit about a lot of things in life, too. Like being accused of all sorts of things.
We're only focusing on a small percentage.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think most pop stars build a fantasy world to lure children to the...
No, I'm not going to lie. I got a little steamed up while she was talking over there. But I understand what she's saying. And yes, it does pay to be a little bit vigilant out there.
Yeah,
you got and it's like teachers. And that includes when you take your kids to Chuck E. Cheese.
Well, and she mentioned teachers too, because you know most
Mary
of the teachers.
Mary Kay Letourneau, right? She's the one that was Washington and fell in love with her 12-year-old student.
I mean, and they might actually. I think they got back together again.
They did.
Got out of jail, right?
She got out of jail. They had another. She had another kid.
Yeah,
they're married.
So hey, that's a love story.
That's a love story.
Star
oh my
across.
God!
I mean, you know, and that's the thing, though. It's like of all the teachers in the country, I mean, we don't hear this about most of them. It's the scary thing is that it's the bad apple. It's the 1% of 1%, whatever it is. It does get scary, and once you have kids, see, when you don't have kids, it's like it's a joke. But once you have kids, it's like. It's
what
not a joke.
What you told Taylor and I not to do the other day.
Hey, and I stand by that. I stand by that. Okay.
Now, was that just in general, or you questioned their ability to raise kids?
That's just in general. That's in general. You know, if I had to do it over again,
I really
this is archived. I don't want your kids
show.
Sitting on.
Dude, you're gonna be on Jerry Springer.
Hey, you know,
they don't even have a word with me.
You know what?
And Steve's jumping up on stage to protect Peter because
Steve's
his
not
coming out.
Steve's got his own show.
Oh,
Mind blown.
All the psychiatry bills you're going to have to pay for to listen to these radio shows.
Kids are great.
Yeah, I love my kids. I do. But
they're going to need therapy for something eventually.
Yep. There you go.
Might as well give them something to start with.
Might as well steer where you want them.
Yeah. Let's make sure that we resolve this one first.
So you know, I had this exact same sort of conversation with my dad, and he said exactly pretty much the same thing. Like, because he had kids. I was first born, and he had me when he was like 19, 20 years old. He's like, I'd have never done that if I had a choice. He says, but
slipped one past the goalie.
You know, but totally
speaking your mother's language.
Speaking my dad's language. My dad tried out for the
hat trick.
My dad tried out for the Detroit Red Wings when he was 18 years old. So you know,
are you sure it was the Detroit Red Wings?
Oh yeah.
I mean, we are talking about.
But that being said,
that was the Canadian Red Wings.
That being said, you know, Dad and I are on good terms. You know, so we get along just fine. We see eye to eye. That's where I see it going. You know,
good.
Hopefully,
it's all good, man.
hey, man, I will tell you that my dad's buddy Dennis, he didn't have kids. All right, and when we were giving our dad all the trouble and giving our parents all the trouble when we were kids, you know, he was always like, "I'm happy I didn't have them." But we were all out hanging out in the desert the other day, dirt bike riding and stuff, and he said, you know what, honestly, if I would have known that I could have had kids and that I was going to be friends with them by the time they made it to your age, I would have had them for sure. You know, so I mean, I think that there's definitely a situation where it's hard when they're growing up, but the way, my dad's my hero, man. He's the most...
Dude, I thought I was your hero.
Well, you are, but I mean, you're it's a different thing. But my dad is... I wouldn't, you know, I don't think my dad would give my brother and I up for anything. And the thing is that my relationship with my dad, he's my best friend. I wouldn't, you know, I mean, like that's the reason I look forward to having kids is because I look forward to being able to give back to a child what my dad's given me, which is pure, unadulterated love. You know?
That's one of the things my dad said to me is he's like, just when you got really interesting, you left.
Yeah.
You went to school. And then after I went to college, I moved to the East Coast and lived there for 7 years. He's like, just when you got really interesting and we could talk and we could hang out and do stuff together, and we did. We went to concerts together. We hung out at pubs together. It's like, then you left. So he was kind of like bummed out about that. So hopefully you all end up there. But let me tell you,
it's a long road.
There's a lot of years between cool and hanging out and wiping ass.
Right along.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. That's funny. That's a good one to end it on, man. Well, with John, I say here, you're listening to The Swoops World. Tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock our time, 9 o'clock on the East Coast. You got Stacy. Oh, is Tanya there? Tanya's in school on Thursdays. I don't know. Morning coffee. Stay so, let us know. And check them out. And go to the schedule and see who else is on tomorrow. I know Night Views is on tomorrow. So check Rob and Travis. And we'll be back next Wednesday night. Thank you for listening to Swoops World.
Night all.
Good night, Z World.
go home and...
I hear you. How come it went off?